So God, this morning, I pray that you would just melt away the ice that may have built up on our hearts. God, the things that we have walked through and sludged through this week, the dust, the dirt, and the mud, God, I pray, Lord, that you will use even that to speak to our hearts by this passage this morning, Lord Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit today that it might grant us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question that I posed it Wednesday night to the men, I'm posing it to you guys now. If you could have any one thing, anything at all, no holds barred, no cost to you, no parameters, no strings attached at all, from the smallest to the most grandiose, lavish thing, anything that you want, what would it be? And I threw this question out to the men on Wednesday night, and man, the conversation that it stirred and the discussion and just thought-provoking the depths that we got to talk through, and it was amazing. And again, I just felt this strong leading, and God just kept confirming it over and over to bring it to you guys and throw this question out as well. So to the men who were there, it's going to be a bit of a review. I'm not sorry. So we're going to go through this again. We're going to look at it from a couple different angles as well. But press into this. And man, this passage has been life to me this past week. As I said, I can't escape it. And I threw a challenge out to the men to meditate on it and memorize it. And I just pray that it's as life-giving to you as it was for myself. So I asked this question, and I'm fairly certain that if I asked this question of you over and over again, over a course of time, several weeks, months, years, that I'd probably get several different answers from you based on what particular circumstances or situations you're dealing with right at the moment. Amen? So if I'd say, what one thing would you ask for? And if you look at your table and the bills are piling up and the envelopes are starting to change colors from one shade of oh no to another, you would probably say, man, if I could just have some money or some financial security or freedom in that thing. If you were dealing with health issues right at that time, you would probably say, man, I would love to have some healing for this right now. If you were dealing with marital issues, you would probably pray for peace or reconciliation at that time. Or if you were faced with just a mountainous, tough decision, you would probably cry out for wisdom. So your one thing might look different depending on what things are standing in front of you then and there. Amen? And also, truly, the context of the question being asked is going to change the answer too. Well, I threw the question out to the men, and one of the genuine responses that came out is like, okay, so are we talking about carnal things or spiritual things? And that's a legitimate question, because if you could say, if I could have just one thing, of course our first thought is going to be, man, you're going to do the Aladdin thing. I want a million wishes, you know. I want a million more things. And we're going to think carnally. But that's a legitimate question. So the answer given is probably going to change depending on whether it's your football buddies asking as compared to your pastor. So that's going to change the answer that you're going to give. And our desires have a tendency to do that, to seek to adapt to our situations and our circumstances, our problems, what resources that we have, and even who asks the questions. So as I'm presenting this question to the men on Wednesday and to you, you know, the caveat is there's no real true right or wrong way to answer this question, right? Because our desires are our desires. I didn't place any parameters on the question, so really there's no rock solid answer, but certainly God has a desired answer to that question. And when we look to his word, we can see how one man responded to that question. Amen? So our passage today is from Psalm chapter 27. We're going to read the whole thing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Father God, penetrate hearts today. God, give us great reassurance and confidence of who you are and your heart's desire. In Jesus' name, amen. So our desires tend to change in light of our circumstances. That's just, that happens. So as we read this psalm, let's consider the author and his circumstances. So in your Bible, it's going to say Psalm 27, a psalm of David. Now, when we look at these circumstances, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention to the circumstances that he was facing and see if any of these things perhaps line up or speak something to one of your current situations, maybe something you have walked through or you are walking through right now. So let's look at these circumstances. He says that he was facing evildoers and adversaries and foes who were seeking his destruction. Now, this isn't hyperbole. He isn't speaking figuratively. There were people seeking his death. They wanted him out of the picture. And historians tend to think that David wrote this psalm in the period of time when he was fleeing for his life from King Saul. Now, when we consider his situation and try to compare it to ours, I don't think many of us, I know we have a lot of people working for NSA in the room, but I don't think many of us have a death squad led by a madman hell-bent on our death due to insane jealousy chasing after us and seeking to destroy us. I could be wrong. If so, please come for prayer after the service. Yeah, we will set up a refuge state for you. So that might not be exactly to our situation, but man, how many of us have known what it was like to have someone who genuinely has it out for you, who would take great pleasure in seeing you fail or fall flat on your face? Amen. He says that he has an army encamped against him, war arising against him. Again, we're not going to walk out the front door and see a military might out in the parking lot, but man, when we step out these doors, we are going to war against a culture that is arising against everything that we hold dear as believers in Christ. Amen. He said that he was forsaken by those closest to him. He said, my father and my mother have forsaken me. His nearest and dearest had turned their backs on him and had written him off. How many of you have had a situation where friends or families or colleagues have completely left you? In your time of greatest need, they just up and abandon you. And towards the end of the chapter, he says that men were spreading horrible, vicious, atrocious rumors and lies about him. Man, when you look at the story in Samuel and in the Chronicles and Kings and things like that, man, the stuff they were saying about David to try to incite hatred against him. He said, this is happening. They're spreading rumors and lies against me. How many of you guys have been in that situation where people speak mistruth and rumors and lies against you to try to turn others against you? Maybe even to the point of violence. So you see here David, the anointed, chosen one, the one whom God declared, even when he was a young lad, that he was a man after the heart of God, the one who had dropped Goliath when the armies of Israel were cowering in their tents. And then Saul had taken him in, shown him favor, so he was living in luxury and lavish surroundings. He's now fleeing for his life, hiding in caves and clefts of cliffs and things like that. So if I were in his shoes and someone asked me that question, I believe my circumstances would have reflected my response. If they'd said, Tom, these guys are out to get you. They're lying about you. They're trying to kill you. Their armies amassed against you. What is the one thing that you want right now? I think off the top of my head, it would have been, how about those guys out there? Destroy them for me, Lord. These evildoers who are chasing after me, God, take care of them for me. Or even, God, grant me military might and strategy to be victorious against these armies that are right outside my door. Or I may have said, God, restore the relationships with those who have forsaken me and turned their backs on me, open their eyes. Or maybe, God, avenge me. These people who are speaking lies about me, avenge me. Maybe get a little selfish and say, God, protect me from these violent men. Or if he was even at the root of his most creature flesh, man, God, give me a decent place to sleep. He was in a cave, running from cave to cave in the mountains with nowhere to lay his head. I probably would have said, God, a pillow would be awesome right about now. But that's not what David faced with. Unimaginable circumstances and hard situations. That's not what he asked for. Look what he asked for. Verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David is running for his life, and he says, God, if I could have just one thing, it would be you. Give me you, God. I want you. I want to be in your presence. I want to look upon your glory and your beauty every day of my life. And we sit here, and with our analytical minds, how tempting would it be to look upon David's request and say, man, that's not practical. That's not practical, David. Man, you would have been so much better off to ask for your enemy's destruction or even a comfortable place to sleep. But man, I think there is such an incredible lesson in faith to be seen in David's request. Because when we look upon his heart, we can see more clearly the heart of God. Amen? So David says, all I want, God, my one thing is you. And I know that if I desire you and if I seek that alone, my request will be honored. He says, all I want is you. And I know that if I ask for that, you're going to give me that. How do we know that? Look at verse 8. He says, you have said, seek my face. Who said that, Aaron? Who said, you have said, seek my face? Who told David to seek his face? God. God said to David, seek my face. And David, in response, says, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. So God desired that David seek him. So when you look at it and boil it all the way down, David's request was then to desire just what God desired. That's all he was asking for. God said, David, I want you to seek my face. And David said, I want to seek your face. So when he asked God for that one thing, he knew that God was going to give it to him. David forsook every single carnal and temporal desire for comfort and peace and replaced it with God's desire. He said, one thing I ask, and that is what I am diligently going to seek after with everything that I have, and that's to be in your presence, to look upon your beauty and your glory. And he says, I know that since this is your desire, God, you're going to honor it, and you're going to give it to me. And man, we live in a culture that's so skewed on prayer. When you hear people on popular station saying, man, ask whatever you want and you're going to get it. Man, you want wealth, ask for it. Name it and claim it. You will have whatever you want. And they take the scripture that says, anything you ask in faith, God will give it to you. Well, that's true, except in 1 John, this is what he says. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he hears us. So I can get up and I can strive after things and I can say, God, I really need money right now. God, you know my bank account. You know my bills. You know what's going to happen if I don't get some money. So God, I claim that now. I need money. God, I need a breakthrough. Give me money. But what if it's not God's will for you to have money right now? Is he going to give you money just because you ask for it? You cry out, God, my body is broken. That ladder, it really took it out of me. God, I need a healing right now. If that's not God's will for you right at that moment, he's not going to give it to you because it's not his will. And David is saying, God, you told me to seek your face. That is your will. I'm going to ask according to your will, and I know that you'll give it to me. But still, I think in our flesh, when we think about this, we could be so tempted to say, you know, David, that's real noble. That's great. But that does nothing to address your current situation. And I'm going to challenge you on that thinking. And I'm going to say that David's request to God is exactly what his circumstances needed and demanded. So this man who was after the heart of God, whose one desire above everything else was to be in God's presence, who in the face of turmoil and danger, lies, rumors, friends, and family leaving him, look what his heart says in light of his one desire. This isn't after all the things are resolved and taken care of. This is in the face of these things. Look what he says. Verse 2, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, read it aloud. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. False witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And look at this. Look at what he says in verse 5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. Man, I would have been looking for anywhere safe to hide if a death squad was coming after me. And David's like, God has got this, and he's going to put me where I need to be, in the covering of his tent, in his shelter. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And look at his response. Look at his outpouring. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. This is in the midst of the circumstances. The army didn't take a break and go home for the day. They're out there amassed against him. The rumors were still flying about him. And his response to the utter turmoil all around him is praise. Joyous singing, lifting hands of worship, not wringing hands of worry. Man, what can we learn from David? Where does this manner of confidence and assurance and utter faith come from? Because, man, I want that. I want when someone says, Tom, what is your one singular desire? I want to be in God's presence. I don't want to have to stop and think, man, should I ask for money or should I ask for health or something else? I want my first response to be that. So where does that come from? David's world was coming unhinged all around him, yet he had the faith to know that if he had God, he had everything he would ever need. So his heart's desire was God, to dwell in his presence and to look upon the beauty and glory all the days of his life. But what's even more astounding was that David understood God's faithfulness enough to know that if that was his desire, that if all he wanted was God, that he would get him, that God would faithfully and graciously respond to that request and give David exactly what he asked for. And on top of that, David also understood that if he desired God, that if he sought after him with all that he had, not only would he get what he desired, but that God would take care of everything else. See, I think we get in this position where we try to segment these things off, where we have our needs in our life, and then we have the presence of God. We're like, well, I can either spend time with God, or I can take care of this stuff over here. And God is saying, it's not separate. Trust in me. Seek after me, and I will take care of the rest. God is the resolution to our problems. Psalm 34 says that those who seek the Lord will lack nothing. And in the New Testament, it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God is the resolution to our problems. And David says, just right out of the gate, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Get this. Understand this and let this break through to your struggling hearts. God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, never slumbering, never forsaking King of creation was for David. And by comparison, nothing that David would face on this earth was worthy of fear. Do you get that? In the New Testament, Paul says, God is for us. And if the all-powerful God is for us, nothing, nothing in this world is worthy of fear. Look at David's responses here. It's mind-boggling. A crazed madman and his posse were chasing after him to kill him. And he's like, you know what? God is my light and my salvation and my stronghold. Saul, you got nothing. Armies amassed to wage war against me. I am confident that God will wage war on my behalf and will prevail. The battle belongs to the Lord. He says, family and friends and those closest to me have forsaken me. He is never going to leave me. And I know that He is and always will be my ever-present help in time of need. David's like, people spreading rumors about me, talking trash and talking lies about me. And he says, I don't care. I stand upon the truth of what God says about me. And I know that I will see His goodness, this side of glory, even in the face of their venom and violence. Nothing, say it, nothing, nothing the world could throw at him could compare to the might, majesty, and power of God, His light and salvation. So David's one desire was more of that, more of God. And here's the plot twist at the end of this. David knew God well enough to know. He understood His sovereignty and faithfulness and His love towards him enough to know that if at any point in time any one of those things should cause his life to end, if Saul caught him and killed him, the armies captured him and took his life, whatever it was, David understood that God was his salvation, and his salvation was eternal, far outreaching even death itself. So, brothers and sisters, what situations and circumstances, what problems are you standing face to face and toe to toe with this morning? And in the presence of those problems, what is your heart's singular one desire? Man, some people may have been facing these things for years or decades, and your arms are weak and your legs are shaking from the fight, and you have cried out to God over and over again, bring an end to this fighting, an end to the hurting, an end to the worrying and doubt. But maybe, just maybe, the reason you haven't seen an answer to those prayers is because you've been asking for the wrong thing all along. David needed comfort. He needed peace. He needed protection and security, all things that we need. Yet he never asked God for one of those things. His singular desire, his one thing, was to desire God, to be in his presence and dwell there all the days of his life. And knowing that God would faithfully give him that desire and that God was greater than anything and everything else, David found comfort and peace and protection and security. Everything that he truly needed, he found by desiring God. You know, I think So often we get caught up in this routine where we gather together this grocery list. We're talking to some people about this before. We come to God and we're like, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. This would be pretty cool, but that's not a priority. God, give me this first. You're laughing because you do it. I do it. And we come to Him seeking His hand and truly His handout, while God's desire is that we'd seek His face, to simply come and recognize that He alone is our all in all and our provider, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But we ask God for these temporal resolutions to our problems, saying in our hearts, man, once this problem is solved, things are going to get so much better. Once this situation is taken care of, my life is going to be great. And maybe even once this person is out of my life, things are going to start going my way. And we toss up these prayers, and then we just sit there and we wait for things to get resolved the way that we think that they should get resolved. David said, I want You, God. And since I have You, no matter what happens around me, I am good. And he says, I don't wait for my solutions. I wait on the Lord. And in Him, I have confidence and courage and boldness because my God is faithful. Now, please don't mishear what I'm saying to you. Because some would say, okay, so you're saying if I say, God, all I want is You, instantly my life is going to get better. All these problems are going to fade away. And I don't buy it. That is a lie. Can God do that? Absolutely He can, and He does. But if your singular reason for desiring God is an answer, a quick fix to the things you're dealing with, you're missing the mark, and you're missing the glory and beauty of His presence. Man, I can testify that if you diligently seek after God as He has desired, weighty burdens will start to vanish from your life. So I want to ask you again, what is your one thing? What's your one desire? If it's not God, man, I know this from my life experience. You get to these places in your walk where you're like, that's not my heart. Man, David says, all I want is You, and I'm not there. Well, I challenge you today to get on your face before God and say, God, I want that desire. I desire that kind of desire that hungers after You. To turn your heart from a place of worry and doubt to a place of freedom, a heart that worships and praises in the presence of problems, not once they are resolved, if ever. I've been there, man, several times in my faith where I'm just like, man, I see these believers who are on fire. They are hungering after the presence of God. And I'm just like, God, what's wrong with me? Well, the first thing is you think that something's wrong with you that God can't tackle and God can't fix. If we get before Him and say, God, I want that desire, He is going to give you that desire. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's my challenge. If you are missing that desire, seek it in this place today. Now, David's confidence was born forth from his knowledge that God was his salvation. That's how he started. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? That's where it all started, and that's where it all starts for us. Man, if you're here and you're hearing these words and you've never put your faith, never put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then all the things that you've just heard from me have very little bearing. Because there is one thing that must take place in your life before you can benefit from God's glorious presence and His provision and providence, and that is humbling yourself, coming to the end of yourself and crying out to Him, saying, God, I know that I have broken your law. I know that I am a sinner, and I know that my sin brings forth death. And you turn from those sins, you repent, and you cry out to Jesus. And the Word says that if you do that, you will be saved. So if you haven't done that, man, you have no help, no confidence, no answer outside of Jesus and His work of redemption upon the cross. There is no life apart from His resurrection. If you have not done that, man, don't leave this place today without doing that, reconciling that today. So I want to take some time now. I want to be in His presence. And Brendan's going to come up and he's going to play the bridge from O Come to the Altar. And man, David knew that God was his all-sufficient provider of everything he needed. And if he just had Him, everything else was taken care of. What a Savior we have. So as we sing through this, just be in God's presence. If you want some prayer, if you're in that place where you're like, man, I don't have that desire, man, come forward and we'll pray with you. Or if you just want some time to be on your face with God, do it. Now is the time. Amen.